The Iliad by Homer, as translated by Alexander Pope. Book 17. Argument. The Seventh Battle for the Body of Patroclus. The Acts of Menelaus. Menelaus, upon the death of Patroclus, defends his body from the enemy. Euphorbus, who attempts it, is slain. Hector advancing, Menelaus retires, but soon returns with Ajax and drives him off. This Glaucus objects to Hector as a flight, who thereupon puts on the armor he had won from Patroclus and renews the battle. The Greeks give way, till Ajax rallies them. Aeneas sustains the Trojans. Aeneas and Hector attempt the chariot of Achilles, which is borne off by Automedon. The horses of Achilles deplore the loss of Patroclus. Jupiter covers his body with a thick darkness, the noble prayer of Ajax on that occasion. Menelaus sends Antilochus to Achilles with the news of Patroclus' death, then returns to the fight where, though attacked with the utmost fury, he and Meriones, assisted by the Ajaces, bear off the body to the ships. The time is the evening of the 28th day. The scene lies in the fields before Troy. On the cold earth, divine Patroclus spread, lies pierced with wounds among the vulgar dead. Great Menelaus, touched with generous woe, springs to the front and guards him from the foe. Thus round her new-fallen young the heifer moves, fruit of her throes and firstborn of her loves, and anxious, helpless as he lies and bare, turns and returns her with a mother's care. Opposed to each that near the carcass came, his broad shield glimmers and his lances flame. The son of Panthus, skilled the dart to send, eyes the dead hero and insults the friend. This hand, Atrides, laid Patroclus low, warrior, desist, nor tempt an equal blow. To me the spoils my prowess won resign. Depart with life and leave the glory mine. The Trojan thus. The Spartan monarch burned with generous anguish, and in scorn returned. Laughest thou not, Jove, from thy superior throne, when mortals boast of prowess not their own? Not thus the lion glorifies in his might, nor panther braves his spotted foe in fight, nor thus the boar, those terrors of the plain. Man only vaunts his force, and vaunts in vain. But far the vainest of the boastful kind, these sons of Panthus vent their haughty mind. Yet 'twas but late, beneath my conquering steel, this boaster's brother, Hyperenor, fell. Against our arm, which rashly he defied, vain was his vigor, and as vain his pride. These eyes beheld him on the dust expire, no more to cheer his spouse, or glad his sire. Presumptuous youth, like his, shall be thy doom. Go, wait thy brother to the Stygian gloom, or, while thou mayest avoid the threatened fate, fools stay to feel it, and are wise too late. Unmoved, Euphorbus thus. That action known, come for my brother's blood, repay thy own. His weeping father claims thy destined head, and spouse a widow in her bridal bed. On these thy conquered spoils I shall bestow, to soothe a consort's and a parent's woe. No longer, then, defer the glorious strife. Let heaven decide our fortune, fame, and life. Swift as the word, the missile lance he flings, the well-aimed weapon on the buckler rings, but blunted by the brass in noxious falls. On Jove, the father great Atrides calls, nor flies the javelin from his arm in vain, it pierces his throat and bent him to the plain. Wide through the neck appears the grisly wound, prone sinks the warrior and his arms resound, the shining circlets of his golden hair, which even the Graces might be proud to wear, instarred with gems and gold, bestrew the shore with dust dishonored and deformed with gore. As the young olive in some sylvan scene, crowned by fresh fountains with eternal green, lifts the gay head in snowy flowerets fair, and plays and dances to the gentle air, when lo, a whirlwind from high heaven invades the tender plant and withers all its shades. It lies uprooted from its genial bed, a lovely ruin now defaced and dead. Thus young, thus beautiful, Euphorbus lay, while the fierce Spartan tore his arms away, proud of his deed, and glorious in the prize, affrighted Troy the towering victor flies. Flies as before some mountain lion's ire, the village curs and trembling swains retire, when o'er the slaughtered bull they hear him roar, and see his jaws distill with smoking gore. All pale with fear at distance scattered round, they shout incessant, and the vales resound. Meanwhile Apollo viewed with envious eyes, and urged great Hector to dispute the prize, in Mentes' shape, beneath whose martial care the rough Chaconians learned the trade of war, "Forbear," he cried, with fruitless speed to chase Achilles' coursers of ethereal race. "They stoop not these to mortal man's command, or stoop to none but great Achilles' hand. Too long amused with a pursuit so vain, turn and behold the brave Euphorbus slain by Sparta slain, for ever now suppressed the fire which burned in that undaunted breast." Thus having spoke, Apollo winged his flight, and mixed with mortals in the toils of fight. His words, in fixed unutterable care deep in great Hector's soul, through all the war he darts his anxious eye, and, instant, viewed the breathless hero in his blood imbued, forth welling from the wound as prone he lay, and in the victor's hands the shining prey, sheathed in bright arms, through cleaving ranks he flies, and sends his voice in thunder to the skies, fierce as a flood of flame by Vulcan sent, it flew and fired the nations as it went, Atrides from the voice the storm divined, and thus explored his own unconquered mind. "Then shall I quit Patroclus on the plain, slain in my cause, and for my honour slain? Desert the arms, the relics of my friend? Or singly, Hector and his troops attend? Sure, where such partial favour heaven bestowed, to brave the hero or to brave the god. Forgive me, Greece, if once I quit the field. 'Tis not to Hector, but to heaven I yield. Yet nor the god nor heaven should give me fear. Did but the voice of Ajax reach my ear, still would we turn, still battle on the plains, and give Achilles all that yet remains of his and our Patroclus. This, no more the time allowed. Troy thickened on the shore, a sable scene, the terrors Hector led. Slow he recedes, and sighing quits the dead. So from the fold the unwilling lion parts, forced by loud clamours and a storm of darts. He flies indeed, but threatens as he flies, with hot indignant and retorted eyes. Now entered in the Spartan ranks, he turned his manly breast, and with new fury burned, o'er all the black battalions sent his view, and through the cloud the godlike Ajax knew, where labouring on the left the warrior stood, all grim in arms and covered o'er with blood, there breathing courage, where the god of day had sunk each heart with terror and dismay. To him, the king, O Ajax, O my friend, haste, and Patroclus' loved remains defend. The body to Achilles to restore demands our care. Alas, we can no more, for naked now, despoiled of arms, he lies, and Hector glories in the dazzling prize, he said, and touched his heart. The raging pair pierced the thick battle and provoked the war. Already had stern Hector seized his head, and doomed to Trojan gods the unhappy dead. But soon as Ajax reared his tower-like shield, sprung to his car, and measured back the field, his train to Troy the radiant armor bear, to stand a trophy of his fame in war. Meanwhile, great Ajax, his broad shield displayed, guards the dead hero with the dreadful shade. And now before and now behind he stood, thus in the centre of some gloomy wood, with many a step the lioness surrounds her tawny young, beset by men and hounds. Elate her heart, and rousing all her powers, dark o'er the fiery balls each hanging eyebrow lowers. Fast by his side the generous Spartan glows with great revenge, and feeds his inward woes. But Glaucus, leader of the Lycian aides, on Hector frowning thus his flight upbraids. Where now in Hector shall we Hector find? A manly form without a manly mind? Is this, O chief, a hero's boasted fame? How vain! Without the merit is the name, since battle is renounced. Thy thoughts employ what other methods may preserve thy Troy. 'Tis time to try if Ilion's state can stand by thee alone, nor ask a foreign hand. Mean, empty boast, but shall the Lycians stake their lives for you, those Lycians you forsake? What from thy thankless orbs can we expect? Thy friend Sarpedon proves thy base neglect. Say, shall our slaughtered bodies guard your walls while unrevenged the great Sarpedon falls? Even where he died for Troy, you left him there, a feast for dogs and all the fowls of air. On my command, if any Lycian wait, hence let him march and give up Troy to fate. Did such a spirit as the gods impart impel one Trojan hand or Trojan heart, such as should burn in every soul that draws the sword for glory and his country's cause? Even yet our mutual arms we might employ, and drag yon carcass to the walls of Troy. Oh, were Patroclus ours, we might obtain Sarpedon's arms, and honoured corse again. Greece with Achilles' friend should be repaid, and thus do honours purchase to his shade. But words are vain, let Ajax once appear, and Hector trembles and recedes with fear. Thou darest not meet the terrors of his eye, and lo, already thou preparest to fly. The Trojan chief, with fixed resentment, eyed the Lycian leader, and sedate replied, Say, is it just, my friend, that Hector's ear from such a warrior such a speech should hear? I deemed thee once the wisest of thy kind, but ill this insult suits a prudent mind. I shun great Ajax, I desert my train. 'Tis mine to prove the rash assertion vain. I joy to mingle where the battle bleeds, and hear the thunder of the sounding steeds. But Jove's high will is ever uncontrolled. The strong he withers and confounds the bold. Now crowns with fame the mighty man, and now strikes the fresh garland from the victor's brow. Come, through yon squadrons let us hew the way, and thou be witness if I fear to-day, if yet a Greek the sight of Hector dread, or yet their hero dare defend the dead. Then turning to the martial hosts, he cries, Ye Trojans, Dardans, Lycians, and allies, be men, my friends, in action as in name, and yet be mindful of your ancient fame. Hector, in proud Achilles' arms, shall shine, torn from his friend by right of conquest mine. He strode along the field, as thus he said, the sable plumage nodded o'er his head. Swift through the spacious plain he sent a look. One instant saw, one instant overtook, the distant band that on the sandy shore the radiant spoils to sacred Ilion bore. There his own mail unbraced the field bestrode. His train to Troy conveyed the massy load. Now blazing in the immortal arms he stands, the work and present of celestial hands, by aged Peleus to Achilles given, at first to Peleus by the court of heaven. His father's arms not long Achilles wears, forbid by fate to reach his father's years. Him, proud in triumph, glittering from afar, the god whose thunder rends the troubled air, beheld with pity as apart he sat, and conscious looked through all the scene of fate. He shook the sacred honours of his head. Olympus trembled, and the godhead said, Ah, wretched man, unmindful of thy end! A moment's glory, and what fates attend! In heavenly panoply, divinely bright, thou standest, and armies tremble at thy sight. As at Achilles' self, beneath thy dart, lies slain the great Achilles' dearer part. Thou from the mighty dead those arms hast torn, which once the greatest of mankind had worn. Yet live! I give thee one illustrious day, a blaze of glory, ere thou fadest away. For ah, no more Andromache shall come with joyful tears to welcome Hector home. No more officious with endearing charms from thy tired limbs unbrace Pelides' arms. Then with his sable brow he gave the nod that seals his word, the sanction of the god. The stubborn arms, by Jove's command disposed, conformed spontaneous, and around him closed, filled with the god, enlarged his members grew, through all his veins a sudden vigour flew, the blood in brisker tides began to roll, and Mars himself came rushing on his soul, exulting loud, through all the field he strode, and looked and moved, Achilles, or a god, now Mestheles, Glaucus, Medon he inspires, now Porces, Chromius, and Hippothous fires, the great Thersic Locus like fury's sound, Asteropius kindled at the sound, and Enomus in augury renowned. Hear, O ye hosts, and hear unnumbered bands of neighbouring nations or of distant lands. 'Twas not for state we summoned you so far, to boast our numbers and the pomp of war. Ye came to fight a valiant foe to chase, to save our present and our future race. For this our wealth, our products, you enjoy, and glean the relics of exhausted Troy. Now then, to conquer or to die, prepare. To die or conquer are the terms of war. Whatever hand shall win Patroclus slain, whoe'er shall drag him to the Trojan train, with Hector's self shall equal honors claim, with Hector part the spoil and share the fame. Fired by his words, the troops dismiss their fears, they join, they thicken, they protend their spears, full on the Greeks they drive in firm array, and each from Ajax hopes the glorious prey, vain hope. What numbers shall the field o'erspread, what victims perish round the mighty dead? Great Ajax mocked the growing storm from far, and thus bespoke his brother of the war. Our fatal day, alas, is come, my friend, and all our wars and glories at an end. 'Tis not this course alone we guard in vain, condemned to vultures on the Trojan plain. We, too, must yield. The same sad fate must fall on thee, on me, perhaps, my friend, on all. See what a tempest direful Hector spreads, and lo, it bursts, it thunders on our heads. Call on our Greeks, if any hear the call, the bravest Greeks, this hour demands them all. The warrior raised his voice, and wide around the field re-echoed the distressful sound. O chiefs, O princes, to whose hand is given the rule of men, whose glory is from heaven, whom with due honours both Atrides grace, ye guides and guardians of our Argive race, all whom this well-known voice shall reach from far, all whom I see not through this cloud of war, come all, let generous rage your arms employ, and save Patroclus from the dogs of Troy. Oilean, Ajax first, the voice obeyed. Swift was his pace, and ready was his aid. Next him, Idomeneus, more slow with age, and Marion, burning with a hero's rage. The long succeeding numbers who can name, but all were Greeks, and eager all for fame. Fierce to the charge great Hector led the throng. Whole Troy embodied rushed with shouts along. Thus, when a mountain billow foams and raves, where some swollen river disembogues his waves, full in the mouth is stopped the rushing tide. The boiling ocean works from side to side. The river trembles to his utmost shore, and distant rocks rebellow to the roar. Nor less resolved the firm Achaean band with brazen shields in horrid circle stand. Jove, pouring darkness o'er the mingled fight, conceals the warrior's shining helms in night. To him, the chief for whom the host contend, had lived not hateful, for he lived a friend. Dead, he protects him with superior care, nor dooms his carcass to the birds of air. The first attack the Grecians scarce sustain. Repulsed they yield, the Trojans seize the slain. Then fierce they rally to revenge, led on by the swift rage of Ajax Telamon, Ajax to Peleus' son, the second name, in graceful stature next, and next in fame. With headlong force the foremost ranks he tore, so through the thicket bursts the mountain boar, and rudely scatters for a distance round the frightened hunter and the baying hound. The son of Lethus, brave Pelasgus' heir, Hippothous, dragged the carcass through the war, the sinewy ankles bored, the feet he bound with thongs inserted through the double wound. Inevitable fate o'ertakes the deed, doomed by great Ajax's vengeful lance to bleed. It cleft the helmet's brazen cheeks in twain, the shattered crest and horsehair strew the plain. With nerves relaxed, he tumbles to the ground. The brain comes gushing through the ghastly wound. He drops Patroclus' foot, and o'er him spread, now lies a sad companion of the dead. Far from Larissa lies his native heir, and ill requites his parents' tender care. Lamented youth, in life's first bloom he fell, sent by great Ajax to the shades of hell. Once more at Ajax, Hector's javelin flies, the Grecian marking as it cut the skies, shunned the descending death, which hissing on, stretched in the dust, the great Iphitus' son, Scedius the brave, of all the Phoetian kind, the boldest warrior and the noblest mind. In little Panope, for strength renowned, he held his seat and ruled the realms around. Plunged in his throat, the weapon drank his blood, and deep, transpiercing through the shoulder stood. In clanging arms the hero fell, and all the fields resounded with his weighty fall. Phorcys, as slain Hippothous, he defends. The Telamonian lance his belly rends. The hollow armor burst before the stroke, and through the wound the rushing entrails broke. In strong convulsions, panting on the sands, he lies and grasps the dust with dying hands. Struck at the sight, recede the Trojan train. The shouting Argives stripped the hero slain, and now had Troy by Greece compelled to yield, fled to her ramparts and resigned the field. Greece, in her native fortitude elate, with Jove averse, had turned the scale of fate. But Phoebus urged Aeneas to the fight. He seemed like age Periphas to sight, a herald in Anchises' love, grown old, revered for prudence, and with prudence bold. Thus he: "What methods yet, O chief, remain to save your Troy, though heaven its fall ordain? There have been heroes who, by virtuous care, by valor numbers, and by arts of war, have forced the powers to spare a sinking state, and gained at length the glorious odds of fate. But you, when fortune smiles, when Jove declares his partial favor and assists your wars, your shameful efforts against yourselves employ, and force the unwilling god to ruin Troy." Aeneas, through the form assumed, descries the power concealed, and thus to Hector cries, "O lasting shame! To our own fears a prey, we seek our ramparts and desert the day. A god, nor is he less, my bosom warms, and tells me Jove asserts the Trojan arms." He spoke, and foremost to the combat flew, the bold example all his hosts pursue. Then, first, Leocritus beneath him bled, in vain beloved by valiant Lycomede, who viewed his fall, and grieving at the chance, swift to revenge it sent his angry lance. The whirling lance, with vigorous force addressed, descends and pants in Apiseon's breast. From rich Pannonia's vales the warrior came. Next thee, Asteropius, in place and fame. Asteropius with grief beheld the slain, and rushed to combat, but he rushed in vain. Indissolubly firm around the dead, rank within rank on buckler, buckler spread, and hemmed with bristled spears the Grecian stood, a brazen bulwark and an iron wood. Great Ajax eyes them with incessant care, and in an orb contracts the crowded war. Close in their ranks commands to fight or fall, and stands the centre and the soul of all, fixed on the spot they wore, and wounded, wound, a sanguine torrent steeps the reeking ground. On heaps the Greeks, on heaps the Trojans bled, and thickening round them rise the hills of dead. Greece in close order, and collected might, yet suffers least, and sways the wavering fight. Fierce as conflicting fires the combat burns, and now it rises, now it sinks by turns. In one thick darkness all the fight was lost. The sun, the moon, and all the ethereal host seemed as extinct day ravished from their eyes, and all heaven's splendors blotted from the skies. Such o'er Patroclus' body hung the night. The rest in sunshine fought, and open light unclouded there the aerial azure spread. No vapor rested on the mountain's head. The golden sun poured forth a stronger ray, and all the broad expansion flamed with day. Dispersed around the plain, by fits they fight, and here and there their scattered arrows light. But death and darkness o'er the Caucasus spread. There burned the war, and there the mighty bled. Meanwhile, the sons of Nestor, in the rear, their fellows routed, tossed the distant spear, and skirmish wide, so Nestor gave command, when from the ships he sent the Pylian band. The youthful brothers thus for fame contend, nor knew the fortune of Achilles' friend. In thought they viewed him still with martial joy, glorious in arms, and dealing death to Troy. But round the course the heroes pant for breath, and thick and heavy grows the work of death. O'er labored now with dust and sweat and gore, their knees, their legs, their feet, are covered o'er. Drop follows drops. The clouds on clouds arise, and carnage clogs their hands, and darkness fills their eyes, as when a slaughtered bull's yet reeking hide, strained with full force, and tugged from side to side, the brawny couriers stretch, and labored o'er the extended surface, drunk with fat and gore. So tugging round the course both armies stood, the mangled body bathed in sweat and blood, while Greeks and Ilians equal strength employ. Now to the ships to force it, now to Troy. Not Pallas herself, her breast when fury warms, nor he whose anger sets the world in arms, could blame this scene, such rage, such horror reigned, such Jove to honour the great dead ordained. Achilles in his ships at distance lay, nor knew the fatal fortune of the day. He, yet unconscious of Patroclus' fall, in dust extended under Ilion's wall, expects him glorious from the conquered plain, and for his wished return prepares in vain. Though well he knew to make proud Ilion bend was more than heaven had destined to his friend. Perhaps to him this Thetis had revealed, the rest in pity to a son concealed. Still raged the conflict round the hero dead, and heaps on heaps by mutual wounds they bled. Cursed be the man, even private Greeks would say, who dares desert this well-disputed day. First may the cleaving earth before our eyes gape wide and drink our blood for sacrifice. First perish all ere haughty Troy shall boast, we lost Patroclus, and our glory lost. Thus they, while with one voice the Trojan said, grant this day, Jove, or heap us on the dead. Then clash their sounding arms, the clangors rise, and shake the brazen concave of the skies. Meantime, at distance from the scene of blood, the pensive steeds of great Achilles stood, their godlike master slain before their eyes. They wept and shared in human miseries. In vain Automedon now shakes the rein, now plies the lash and soothes and threats in vain. Nor to the fight nor Hellespont they go, restive they stood, and obstinate in woe, still as a tombstone, never to be moved. On some good man or woman unreproved lays its eternal weight, or fixed as stands a marble courser by the sculptor's hands, placed on the hero's grave. Along their face the big round drops coursed down with silent pace, conglobing on the dust their manes that late circled their arched necks and waved in state, trailed on the dust beneath the yoke were spread, and prone to earth was hung their languid head. Nor Jove disdained to cast a pitying look, while thus relenting to the steeds he spoke. Unhappy coursers of immortal strain, exempt from age and deathless, now in vain, did we your race on mortal man bestow, only, alas, to share in mortal woe? For ah, what is there of inferior birth that breathes or creeps upon the dust of earth? What wretched creature of what wretched kind than man, more weak, calamitous, and blind? A miserable race! But cease to mourn, for not by you shall Priam's son be born. High, on the splendid car, one glorious prize he rashly boasts. The rest our will denies. Ourself will swiftness to your nerves impart. Ourself with rising spirits swell your heart. Automedon, your rapid flight shall bear safe to the navy through the storm of war. for yet 'tis given to Troy to ravage o'er the field and spread her slaughters to the shore. The sun shall see her conquer, till his fall with sacred darkness shades the face of all," he said, and breathing in the immortal horse excessive spirit, urged them to the course. From their high manes they shake the dust, and bear the kindling chariot through the parted war. So flies a vulture through the clamorous train of geese that scream and scatter round the plain. From danger now with swiftest speed they flew, and now to conquest with like speed pursue. Sole in the seat the charioteer remains, now plies the javelin, now directs the reins. Him, brave Alcimedon, beheld distressed, approached the chariot and the chief addressed. "What god provokes thee rashly thus to dare alone, unaided in the thickest war? Alas, thy friend is slain, and Hector wields Achilles' arms triumphant in the fields." "In happy time," the charioteer replies, "the bold Alcimedon now greets my eyes. No Greek like him the heavenly steed restrains, or holds their fury in suspended reins. Patroclus, while he lived, their rage could tame. But now Patroclus is an empty name. To thee I yield the seat, to thee resign the ruling charge, the task of fight be mine," he said. Alcimedon, with active heat, snatches the reins and vaults into the seat. His friend descends, the chief of Troy descried, and called Aeneas fighting near his side. "Lo, to my sight, beyond our hope restored, Achilles' car deserted of its lord. The glorious steeds our ready arms invite, scarce their weak drivers guide them through the fight. Can such opponents stand when we assail? Unite thy force, my friend, and we prevail." The son of Venus to the council yields, then o'er their backs they spread their solid shields. With brass refulgent the broad surface shined, and thick bull hides the spacious concave lined. Them Chromius follows, Aretus succeeds. Each hopes the conquest of the lofty steeds. In vain, brave youths, with glorious hopes ye burn. In vain advance, not fated to return. Unmoved, Automedon attends the fight, implores the Eternal, and collects his might. Then, turning to his friend with dauntless mind, "Oh, keep the foaming coursers close behind. Full on my shoulders let their nostrils blow, for hard the fight, determined is the foe. 'Tis Hector comes, and when he seeks the prize, war knows no mean. He wins it or he dies." Then through the field he sends his voice aloud, and calls the Ajaces from the warring crowd. "With great Atrides, hither turn," he said, "turn where distress demands immediate aid. The dead encircled by his friends forego, and save the living from a fiercer foe. Unhelped we stand, unequal to engage the force of Hector and Aeneas' rage. Yet mighty as they are, my force to prove is only mine. The event belongs to Jove." He spoke, and high the sounding javelin flung, which passed the shield of Aretus the young. It pierced his belt, embossed with curious art, then in the lower belly struck the dart, as when a ponderous axe descending full cleaves the broad forehead of some brawny bull. Struck twixt the horns he springs with many a bound, then tumbling rolls enormous on the ground. Thus fell the youth, the air his soul received, and the spear trembled as his entrails heaved. Now at Automedon the Trojan foe discharged his lance, the meditated blow. Stooping he shunned, the javelin idly fled, and hissed innoxious o'er the hero's head. Deep rooted in the ground, the forceful spear in long vibration spent its fury there. With clashing falchions now the chiefs had closed, but each brave Ajax heard and interposed. No longer Hector with his Trojans stood, but left their slain companion in his blood. His arms Automedon divests and cries, "Accept, Patroclus, this mean sacrifice. Thus have I soothed my griefs, and thus have paid, poor as it is, some offering to thy shade." So looks the lion o'er a mangled boar, all grim with rage and horrible with gore. High on the chariot at one bound he sprung, and o'er his seat the bloody trophies hung. And now Minerva from the realms of air descends impetuous and renews the war. For, pleased at length the Grecian arms to aid, the Lord of Thunder sent the blue-eyed maid. As when high Jove, denouncing future woe, o'er the dark clouds extends his purple bow, in sign of tempests from the troubled air, or from the rage of man, destructive war. The drooping cattle dread the impending skies, and from his half-tilled field the laborer flies. In such a form the goddess round her drew a livid cloud, and to the battle flew. Assuming phoenix shape on earth, she falls, and in his well-known voice to Sparta calls. And lies Achilles' friend, beloved by all, a prey to dogs, beneath the Trojan wall. What shame, O Greece, for future times to tell, to thee the greatest in whose cause he fell! O chief! O father! Atreus' son replies. O full of days! by long experience wise. What more desires my soul than, here unmoved, to guard the body of the man I loved? Oh, would Minerva send me strength to rear this wearied arm and ward the storm of war, but Hector like the rage of fire we dread, and Jove's own glories blaze around his head. Pleased to be first of all the powers addressed, she breathes new vigor in her hero's breast, and fills with keen revenge, with fell despite, desire of blood and rage and lust of fight. So burns the vengeful hornet's soul all o'er, repulsed in vain and thirsty still of gore. Bold son of air and heat on angry wings, untamed, untired, he turns, attacks, and stings. Fired with like ardor, fierce Atrides flew, and sent his soul with every lance he threw. There stood a Trojan not unknown to fame, Eetion's son, and Podes was his name, with riches honored and with courage blessed, by Hector loved his comrade and his guest. Through his broad belt the spear a passage found, and ponderous as he falls his arms resound. Sudden at Hector's side Apollo stood, like Phaenops, Asius' son, appeared the god, Asius the great, who held his wealthy reign in fair Abydos by the rolling main. "O prince," he cried, "O foremost once in fame, what Grecian now shall tremble at thy name? Dost thou at length to Menelaus yield, a chief once thought no terror of the field? Yet singly now the long-disputed prize he bears victorious, while our army flies. By the same arm illustrious Podes bled, the friend of Hector unrevenged is dead." This heard, or Hector spreads a cloud of woe, rage lifts his lance and drives him on the foe. But now the Eternal shook his sable shield, that shaded Ida, and all the subject field beneath its ample verge. A rolling cloud involved the mount, the thunder roared aloud, the affrighted hills from their foundations nod, and blazed beneath the lightnings of the god. At one regard of his all-seeing eye, the vanquished triumph and the victors fly. Then trembled Greece, the flight Peneleus led. For as the brave Boeotian turned his head to face the foe, Polydamas drew near, and raised his shoulder with a shortened spear. By Hector wounded, Laertes quits the plain, pierced through the wrist, and raging with the pain, grasps his once formidable lance in vain. As Hector followed, Idomen addressed the flaming javelin to his manly breast. The brittle point before his corslet yields, exulting Troy with clamour, fills the fields. High on his chariots the Cretan stood, the son of Priam, whirled the massive wood, but erring from its aim, the impetuous spear struck to the dust the squire and charioteer of martial Marion, Coerinus his name, who left fair Lectus for the fields of fame. On foot bold Marion fought, and now laid low, had graced the triumphs of his Trojan foe. But the brave squire the ready coursers brought, and with his life his master's safety bought. Between his cheek and ear the weapon went, the teeth it shattered and the tongue it rent. Prone from the seat he tumbles to the plain, his dying hand forgets the falling rein. This Marion reaches, bending from the car, and urges to desert the hopeless war. Idomeneus consents, the lash applies, and the swift chariot to the navy flies. Not Ajax, less the will of heaven descried in conquest shifting to the Trojan side, turned by the hand of Jove, then thus begun to Atreus' seed, the godlike Telamon. Alas, who sees not Jove's almighty hand transfer the glory to the Trojan band? Whether the weak or strong discharge the dart, he guides each arrow to a Grecian heart. Not so our spears, incessant though they rain, he suffers every lance to fall in vain. Deserted of the god, yet let us try what human strength and prudence can supply, if yet this honoured course in triumph borne. May glad the fleets that hope not our return, who tremble yet, scarce rescued from their fates, and still hear Hector thundering at their gates. Some hero too must be dispatched to bear the mournful message to Peleides' ear. For sure he knows not distance on the shore, his friend, his loved Patroclus is no more. But such a chief I spy not through the host. The men, the steeds, the armies, all are lost in general darkness. Lord of earth and air, O King, O Father, hear my humble prayer. Dispel this cloud, the light of heaven restore. Give me to see, and Ajax asks no more. If Greece must perish, we thy will obey, but let us perish in the face of day. With tears the hero spoke, and at his prayer, the god, relenting, cleared the clouded air. Forth burst the sun, with all-enlightening ray, the blaze of armour flashed against the day. Now, Atrides, cast around thy sight. If yet Antilochus survives the fight, let him to great Achilles' ear convey the fatal news. Atrides hastes away. So turns the lion from the nightly fold, though high in courage and with hunger bold, long galled by herdsmen and long vexed by hounds, stiff with fatigue and fretted sore with wounds, the darts fly round him from 100 hands, and the red terrors of the blazing brands, till late, reluctant, at the dawn of day, sour he departs, and quits the untasted prey. So moved Atrides from his dangerous place with weary limbs, but with unwilling pace. The foe, he feared, might yet Patroclus gain, and much admonished, much adjured his train. O God, these relics to your charge consigned, and bear the merits of the dead in mind, how skilled he was in each obliging art, the mildest manners, and the gentlest heart he was, alas. But fate decreed his end, in death a hero, as in life a friend. So parts the chief, from rank to rank he flew, and round on all sides sent his piercing view, as the bold bird, endued with sharpest eye, of all that wings the mid-aerial sky, the sacred eagle, from his walks above looks down, and sees the distant thicket move, then stoops, and sousing on the quivering hair, snatches his life amid the clouds of air. Not with less quickness his exerted sight passed this and that way, through the ranks of fight, till on the left the chief he sought he found, cheering his men, and spreading deaths around. To him the king, beloved of Jove, draw near, for sadder tidings never touched thy ear. Thy eyes have witnessed what a fatal turn, how Ilion triumphs, and the Achaeans mourn. This is not all. Patroclus, on the shore, now pale and dead, shall succour Greece no more. Fly to the fleet this instant, fly, and tell the sad Achilles how his loved one fell. He too may haste the naked course to gain. The arms are Hector's, who despoiled the slain. The youthful warrior heard with silent woe. From his fair eyes the tears began to flow. Big with a mighty grief, he strove to say what sorrow dictates, but no word found way. To brave Laodocus his arms he flung, who near him wheeling drove his steeds along. Then ran the mournful message to impart with tearful eyes and with dejected heart. Swift fled the youth, nor Menelaus stands, though sore distressed, to aid the Pylian bands, but bids bold Thrasymede those troops sustain, himself returns to his Patroclus slain. Gone is Antilochus, the hero said, but hope not, warriors, for Achilles' aid. Though fierce his rage, unbounded be his woe, unarmed he fights not with the Trojan foe. 'Tis in our hands alone our hopes remain. 'Tis our own vigour must the dead regain, and save ourselves, while with impetuous hate Troy pours along, and this way rolls our fate. 'Tis well, said Ajax. Be it then thy care, with Marion's aid, the weighty course to rear. Myself and my bold brother will sustain the shock of Hector and his charging train, nor fear we armies fighting side by side. What Troy can dare, we have already tried, have tried it and have stood. The hero said, high from the ground, the warriors heave the dead. A general clamour rises at the sight. Loud shouts the Trojans, and renew the fight. Not fiercer rush along the gloomy wood with rage insatiate and with thirst of blood. Voracious hounds, that many a length before their furious hunters drive the wounded boar. But if the savage turns his glaring eye, they howl aloof and round the forest fly. Thus on retreating Greece the Trojans pour, wave the thick falchions and their javelin shower, but Ajax, turning to their fears, they yield. All pale they tremble and forsake the field, while thus aloft the hero's course they bear. Behind them rages all the storm of war. Confusion, tumult, horror, o'er the throng of men, steeds, chariots, urged the rout along. Less fierce the winds with rising flames conspire to whelm some city under waves of fire. Now sink in gloomy clouds the proud abodes. Now crack the blazing temples of the gods. The rumbling torrent through the ruin rolls, and sheets of smoke mount heavy to the poles. The heroes sweat beneath their honored load, as when two mules along the rugged road from the steep mountain with exerted strength drag some vast beam or mast's unwieldy length. Inly they groan, big drops of sweat distill, the enormous timber lumbering down the hill. So these, behind the bulk of Ajax stands, and breaks the torrent of the rushing bands. Thus when a river swelled with sudden rain spreads his broad waters o'er the level plains, some interposing hill the stream divides, and breaks its force and turns the winding tides. Still close they follow, close the rear engage, and near storms, and Hector foams with rage, while Greece a heavy thick retreat maintains, wedged in one body like a flight of cranes, that shriek incessant, while the falcon hung high on poised pinions, threats their callow young, so from the Trojan chiefs the Grecians fly, such the wild terror and the mingled cry. within, without the trench, and all the way, strewed in bright heaps their arms and armor lay. Such horror Jove impressed, yet still proceeds, the work of death, and still the battle bleeds. The end of Book 17 of the Iliad by Homer, as translated by Alexander Pope. Read by Rick Kistner for Lit2Go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.